In West Albany, we've finished our sermon series going through Ephesians, but we come here this morning continuing on with our sermons from the book of Ephesians, and we have, including this one, three left. And before the holidays, we had verses 1, 2, and 3 proclaimed to us, specifically relating to God's instruction for the children, and we come here to hear God's word and his instruction for parents. But first we read God's instruction to Israel in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we read the entire chapter together. So remembering that Deuteronomy 6 comes immediately after God gave the law on Mount Sinai in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in Deuteronomy 6 God calls then his people to fear these commands and to also that the parents would teach the children the commands that they had received from the Lord. So let's read together from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, and that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in times to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. And then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us." Let's also turn to the New Testament. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, we read the verses 1 through to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So far from the reading of our text. Let us sing together from Psalm 78, verse 1, 2, and 3, after the proclamation of God's word from Ephesians 6, verse 4. Beloved brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, gardening and parenting have a lot in common. Growing flowers and growing vegetables or trees, it's more than simply just throwing a seed into the ground and then hoping for the best. It requires that the seed be put in good soil. It means that you might have to get the weeds out. You have to water the seed regularly. You need to plant it in a place where there's going to be enough sunlight. And you also need to give the right fertilizer. And as the seed germinates and becomes a plant or even a tree, there is continued maintenance that needs to take place. You need to cut away those sucker shoots that take out vital nutrients from the rest of the tree. And hopefully when all this is carried out and when all this is done, the flowers will grow and they'll come into full bloom, or the vegetables, they won't rot away. Or the tree that you've planted will become very strong and healthy. In a similar way, beloved, raising children is more than simply leaving them and hoping for the best. They also require, in a similar way, that a gardener needs to give attention to flowers and plants and trees. They need to be rooted in Christ. They need prayer so that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts, that life-giving water that they hear in the home and also from the pulpit on Sundays. And they need the light, as a plant needs light. They need the light of God's word to shine into their life through the teaching and admonition that takes place in the home and in catechism instruction, and also on Sundays in church. And then hopefully, by God's grace and by parental faithfulness and diligence and prayer, although done in a great deal of weakness, children, like a flower or a plant in a tree that receives diligent attention, children also will then not rot away. Rather, they'll become strong and they'll become healthy, and in fact they will grow and come into full blossom. And beloved, we come to Ephesians 6 this morning and we're only given one verse to give us guidance and instruction on this mammoth responsibility that God has given to parents. You see, hundreds of books have been written on gardening, hundreds of books have been written on parenting, perhaps even thousands, and we come to God and He gives us one book. And this morning, we come to Him and He's given us one verse. And yet, beloved, here is a verse which is simple, a verse which is sharp and to the point. And while more than one sermon could be given to this verse, we will this morning content ourselves with one sermon on this one verse, focusing on the two clear commands that God gives to parents and in this verse. And that then becomes our theme also this morning. Fathers, do not provoke your children but to bring to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You see, in gardening, beloved, there are always things that you should not do, and then there are always things that you should do. And in this first point, we're going to see, do not provoke your children to anger. That is what fathers should not do. And in the second point, we're going to see, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, and that is what fathers must do. So firstly, what they are not to do, provoke their children to anger. Now, so far, the word father has been predominantly used rather than using the generic parents or even mothers. And that's been intentional, beloved, because you see in our verse that God dresses the fathers. It doesn't say parents. It doesn't say fathers and mothers. He says fathers. Because God is addressing the appointed head of the home. God speaks to the head of the house, whom God has given the responsibility to ensure that children are being brought up in the teaching and admonition of the Lord. And this is consistent with how God worked in the Old Testament. God would often gather the leaders of the tribes and families, the heads of the homes, together to hear his law and his word. Who would be instructed, and they would also then take that with them into their homes and in their lives, teaching their children and also their family. But beloved, this does not mean that mothers are exempt. The same commands also apply to them. But fathers have the primary responsibility to ensure that teaching and training of children is taking place. Now, beloved, sadly, we live in a culture where fathers are not valued or seen as to be important. They are not given the responsibility or the primary responsibility that God holds them to in his word. Fathers are rather often portrayed as being rather clueless. You see this in many TV shows. They're often the big goof of the family, the ones making the mistakes. They're often overweight and not taking life seriously. That's the message that the world and culture is communicating to us and to our children. And yet, even in addition to this, fathers may even perceive in themselves to be insignificant and insufficient. And this worldly culture can even trickle down into our own families, beloved, where we lose respect for our fathers, or even maybe tempted to treat them lightly and not give them the status and eminence that and honor that God holds them to in the home. It's true that mothers tend to spend more time with babies when they're born, and dads often don't tend to be as involved as to mothers, but this does not diminish the responsibility and the importance that fathers play in the lives of even an infant and a child. And so this cultural view of the unnecessary father and fathers not taking their role seriously is in contrast to the high view that Scripture places on father and the important task, along with the mothers that God gives to them in raising children. And yet the importance of the father in the home, beloved, does not actually begin with parenting. The importance of the father in his role as a father begins in his marriage. Since chapter 5, verse 22, Paul has been giving instruction to the Christian home and Christian families. He's speaking to wives and husbands and children and speaking to parents. And we need to see that this order is important, beloved. He first speaks to the marriage, husbands and wives. Then he speaks to the children, and then he speaks to the parents. Because the marriage is the first responsibility that the father has in the home if he has children. And it's in that relationship in marriage where they can lead their family and also lead their children. Mothers can teach their children. Fathers can teach their children through the marriage relationship. A mother can teach her children what it means to be supportive, what it means to also act in submission to her husband. And a father also in his loving care for his wife. This will also teach the children as well, beloved. So in the marriage relationship, children are learning so much already. They're learning about forgiveness and patience. They're learning about care and gentleness and humility, submissiveness and serving. And they're learning all that through the marriage relationship. And so generally speaking, if the marriage in the home is stable, the family life also is stable and the children flourish and grow. And however, if the marriage is shaky, often this also then rubs off on the children too. It may even give them a shaky start to life. And so Paul addresses the fathers, and from the context, we see that there is much that fathers can teach their children through the marriage relationship. And Paul addresses the fathers because ultimately, brothers, the buck stops with you. Mums have an important role to play in the family, and together they bring up their children. But at the end of the day, God will hold the fathers accountable. And in this verse, he gives fathers, and also mothers included, he gives us two guiding commands and principles in which we may build our parenting on. And the first one that Paul gives is that fathers are not to provoke their children to anger. Children need a home where there is nurturing love and compassion and gentleness, patience. Yes, also firmness and discipline. And in the weakness of parents, this is often done so imperfectly and consequently and sadly, and as a result, there can also be anger and discouragement in children as a result of the shortcomings and weaknesses of our own parenting. And that's the negative side of parenting, the hard side to accept. And so, beloved, it'll be beneficial for us to consider a number of examples, biblical examples and teachings of things that we can avoid as fathers and mothers that may cause our children to be embittered and discouraged. We see that setting standards that are too high. The children can sometimes feel like it just simply doesn't matter what I do, I can just never seem to satisfy dad or mum. And so setting high standards beyond their age or ability can cause children to be discouraged. They may even begin to develop the idea that it doesn't matter what they do, they're just never going to be good enough. And home needs correction. Children need correction. And yet constant criticism can discourage children also. It must be positive encouragement. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he quoted scripture. He said, spare the rod and spoil the child, but he also made the point that beside the rod, keep an apple, that you may reward him and give him something good when he has done well. Other things that may cause children to be discouraged, beloved, is being absent or detached from their life. A failure to give them time and attention. Children need to have their fathers in their lives. And children will suffer when dads are preoccupied with their own interests. And beloved, if our children aren't getting the attention that they need, they are going to seek it somewhere else. And it's dangerous to consider where they may seek that. And we see that more in our second point. Excessively harsh discipline. God wants the children to learn self-discipline and control in the home. But if the parent is out of control or discipline any anger, this also can exasperate children, can provoke them to anger and cause them to grow bitter. And yet discipline and correction and admonition that is done in control and also in a nurturing and loving way will also teach children to be self-disciplined and controlled in their emotions. Another way that children can be exasperated or provoked to anger is in an expression that we've perhaps heard before, the helicopter mum or the mother bear. And while mothers have this beautiful protective instinct given by God for their children, it is possible to be overprotective. And there comes a time when parents also need to allow their children to take the risks of life, but knowing that they're in the Father's hands and trusting them into the hands of your Heavenly Father, knowing that His ever-watchful eye and gaze is over them and His fatherly hand is guiding their life such that not even a hair can fall from their head. There's many examples of children who were embittered because of favoritism. Another way in which children may become embittered or angered. We can see that already in the life and story of Jacob. His favoritism towards Joseph drove his other sons to anger and resentment. Another way that children can be embittered is through a failure to discipline and correct as needed. Children need boundaries in their life. There need to be steps in place when they've crossed those boundaries within reason and love. And while children act as though they don't want boundaries, they need them. God even sets them in His Word. That's why He gave His law, He gave His commands, so that those boundaries might be in place for them, so that within those boundaries they may enjoy the freedom of living as creatures made in His image and as His own children. And beloved, there may be many more ways in which you can think of how children can be disencouraged or discouraged or embittered or provoked to anger through our own weaknesses and shortcomings as parents, perhaps breaking promises or setting double standards. And you can think of many others. Beloved, these are the warnings that we must take to heart, because children will become sullen. They will become angry, depressed, frustrated, shameful in behavior. And Paul also repeats that admonition to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 22. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." The examples of provoking children to anger can once again be seen in the analogy of a flower. If you expect, for example, a flower to be anything than it's supposed to be, you're going to be disappointed. A flower needs the care that a flower needs and not an oak tree. If you neglect a flower or your vegetables, it withers away. Overwatering can lead to also root rot. And so also overindulging a child may also lead to the rotting of their life and spoiling them. Some flowers need to grow in the wind. Some trees need to grow in the wind as their saplings, so they learn to put down deep, sturdy roots so they become strong. And so also children sometimes need to be exposed to the elements. An overbearing mother or father who is too protective is going to stifle a child's growth. And if you're pruning your garden too much, it may not grow back at all. And so children need pruning and need correction. But excessive pruning and correction can also cause them to be discouraged. And beloved, there is no parent who will never at some point provoke their children to anger. It is simply impossible in the world that we live and in our own imperfections and shortcomings. It is impossible, because no parent can keep God's word perfectly and no parent can apply God's word correctly in every circumstance. And we see many examples in Scripture where parents have fallen short. We saw the example of Jacob already and his raising of Joseph and his sons. Others that haven't been mentioned was Eli. Eli was a priest in the tabernacle. And his own two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were, as Scripture says, wicked and evil. And in many of our eyes, Samuel was a great leader in Israel. He was a spiritual leader. He was, as it were, a father to the people of Israel, and yet he stumbled and fell in his own parenting as a father to his sons. We can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 8. We read in 1 Samuel 8 that he made his sons to judge over Israel. That's Samuel, made his sons to judge over Israel. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, and they took bribes and perverted justice. And then the people of Israel, they saw this and they said, "Look, Samuel, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make a king to rule over us." And David also, a man of God's own heart, a man of godliness and a great military leader. And yet some of his greatest failings, beloved, were in his work in the home. Perhaps the biggest in the way he dealt with his own sons, especially after his son abused his sister and then Absalom murdered him. And David's neglect to deal with that drove Absalom to resentment and bitterness. And so, beloved, we also, with a nature similar to theirs, find ourselves in the company of those who also fall short in parenting and raising our own children. Not only fathers, but also mothers too. And so God's word here in Ephesians 6 must be taken to heart. The warnings here are striking for us to consider. And Satan would love nothing more than for that seed of the word to be snatched away from your ears and from your heart, and that you fathers especially would become delinquent in the home, neglect the duties and that glorious responsibility that God has given to you in raising and teaching your children in the fear of his name and pointing them to him. While there are many examples of dads and mums who failed in the Old Testament, there is above all the faithfulness of our Father in heaven. He who works through the shortcomings and weaknesses of sinners, of sinful parents, but he also works through the faithfulness of parents too, beloved. And we see that also in the Old Testament as well. Many examples of even mothers and fathers who through faithfulness raised their children, taught them the ways of the Lord. Think of Jochebed who raised Moses, gave him those vital years in the beginning to teach him the fear of the Lord before he had to spend his days in the house of Pharaoh. Think of Hannah who dedicated Samuel to the tabernacle service, and King Hezekiah who came after his wicked king, Father Ahab, but due to the influence of his godly mother, Abijah, the daughter of a priest. No doubt her influence in the life of Hezekiah as a young boy and growing up in the palace under the wicked influence of his father was a means by which God used also the influence of a mother to also lead and guide the future king of Israel to do what was right and to fear the Lord. And beloved, in our weakness and shortcoming, parenting can make us angry, cause us frustration. It can lead us to take this out even on our children. And in weakness and shortcoming, beloved, we need to also be looking to our own Father in heaven. And we know how our Father dealt with his people in the Old Testament, his loving care for them, how he led Ephraim. We read in Hosea by the hand how he walked with Israel through the wilderness, his tender mercy and his love that was also met with discipline and firmness when they sinned and rebelled against him. But we also see that parental care and love in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, who is a son, yet he has revealed to us the Father. Philip asks Jesus and says to Jesus, "Show us the Father. Reveal to us the Father, Jesus." To which Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you have seen my Father." So our parenting model looks to that of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. His love, his care, his for his children. And that's the beautiful privilege, beloved, that we have as parents, and especially as fathers who are created in the image of God to father the children that He has given to us. And so we are imaging also our Father in heaven in our work as father in the home. And then He gives us the glorious task to train them up, to raise them up in the teaching and admonition of the Lord, which brings us to consider our second point, so bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We see that in the second half of verse 4, it says there, but, so bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And bringing them up, alludes to a very important fact, beloved, that children need you so that they may grow and learn to fear the Lord. Being a proactive parent, a biblical Christian parent, is vital to their development and their growth. On the one hand, as seen in the previous point, children need love and support and care and compassion. They also need to be led and taught and guided and directed, because left to themselves, they will not grow up to fear the Lord. They must be brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Because as we read in Proverbs 22 verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Children's values do not automatically align themselves from God's word. They are born with corrupt hearts. We saw that in the previous sermon in Ephesians 6 verse 1 to 3. And so if you are not teaching them, brothers, in the home, if you are not ensuring that that is taking place in the home, if you are not proactive with that in the home, then who is going to teach them? Well, it may not always look like. While it may look like our children are just there, their eyes and ears are always open, constantly, always receiving information and interpreting that, and they are going to learn from everything around them. And so if you are not teaching them, then it is going to be the world, and it will be the inclinations of their own evil hearts. What they watch on TV, what they see and hear everywhere around them, beloved, it was not the failure of the office bearers in Israel or the priests or the prophets. It was the failure of the mums and dads in Israel. That's why we read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. They were given the first responsibility to make sure they were teaching, leading their children. The statutes, commands, instructions of the Lord, painting everything, their whole identity of who they were in the context of their relationship with God, with Yahweh, with the Lord, and leading them in all things, pointing them to His commandments, His statutes and precepts. Busy calendars and long work hours, spending more time than necessary away from home with other activities rather than prioritizing the family, something that dads and mums struggle with. If you're not busy in teaching and admonition of the children, then we read in Proverbs 19:18 that you in fact become a willing participant in their demise. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. If you leave them to themselves, the inclination of their hearts will lead to their demise and the influence of the world around them. And so be proactive, beloved. Busy in the home, taking leadership and teaching, admonition. And a beautiful place where that can take is around the table. The end of the day, sitting down together. We have busy lives. Dad is often at work most of the day. A beautiful time is to be at the table together, speaking about the day and pointing them to the Lord. And taking those opportunities to teach, and but also admonish. Teaching and admonition. That is what parents are called by God to do from Ephesians 6 verse 4. You see, in gardening, there are two ways you can nurture and plant growth. On the one hand, a plant needs all the right elements. It needs water, it needs soil, it needs fertilizer, it needs sunlight. On the other hand, it also needs pruning. You may need to encourage more growth by cutting away sucker roots that are taking away vital nutrients. And that is what the word teaching refers to. The word training, on the other hand, is associated with the idea of educating and teaching. So we need to get the right information through to them. And that right teaching is important to encourage good growth. Blueberry bushes grow best in acidic soil. If the soil is too alkaline, it's not going to be good for the tree. And in a similar way, children are going to receive teaching. They're going to receive instruction from around them. A lot of that will come from the world, through books and videos and programs. But they need not the alkaline soil that's going to destroy the blueberry tree. They need the right soil. And so they need the Word of God in their life. And they need to be pointed and directed to Him. Beloved, you don't need a PhD to explain to a child where children come from or how a rainbow appears in the sky. You simply just need to point them to God. Teach them to fear the Lord from a very young age. That's what Israel were commanded to do. We read that also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the son asks their father, what do all these things mean? The father was to teach them and direct them to the statutes and commands and testimonies of the Lord. That they were slaves in the land of Egypt, and yet that God had delivered them and gave them a new identity, gave them a new teaching rather than the pagan influences of Egypt. He gave them His word so that they might be rooted in the right soil, in that which is good for their growth. And so, beloved, sing the songs that they are learning at school. When they are scared and when they have nightmares at nighttime, lay with them, sit with them, sing the psalms that they've been learning. Help teenagers to also see their identity and their purpose in Jesus Christ, who've been called and claimed by Him. And so that teaching, that training from verse 4 takes place in the home. But not just only in training, but also admonition. Now, admonition refers to like pruning plants and encouraging growth that way. This is where teaching is more painful, especially for you, children. Painful, but also necessary for you to receive the admonitions from your parents. Practically speaking, that may very well look like spanking or withholding certain privileges or time out. Because it teaches a child that this is not the way to go. There are consequences down that road, or a firm hand is needed to encourage a child's growth in this way. But the world is going to teach you the child is independent. The world is going to teach you the child is king. But they are not. And so God also calls for admonition. The world is going to call for a child's rights. But God calls you, beloved, to admonition and teaching. Even when it may hurt, but doing what is necessary and good and right to promote that right bringing up, as Paul says here in verse 4. The Bible is clear that there is a place in the home for the rod, beloved. It is a permissible form of discipline in the mind of God. Whoever spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him is diligent in disciplining him. Proverbs 13, 23 and 22. Now, every analogy that we give, beloved, is going to break down at some point. Every analogy doesn't cover all the spiritual lessons that God is teaching. And so it is also in our analogy with gardening and parenting and with flowers and vegetables. Because there's one big difference between parenting and gardening, beloved. And that's because flowers and vegetables and trees, well, they don't talk back. Children do talk back. And children, and also the teenagers and young adults here this morning, Don't use this biblical text against your parents. Don't use this text against them. You need to be patient with them. Trust your Father in heaven. And he is also working through them and in your home. And when your own fathers and mothers, when they make mistakes, and they do, because they have an important responsibility that God has given them, honor them, fear them, love them. Bear with them and be patient with them, because God has given them a big task to do. Forgive them and love them and support them, because it is not easy. And this is hard work, hard for parents, but hard also for children. It requires a lot of patience, it requires attention, it requires time and energy for mums and dads. But we have that glorious promise, beloved, and instruction that this training and admonition is in the Lord. And that's the hope and the comfort that we have here, beloved. Because in all our weakness, in all our shortcoming, our bringing up and our training and admonition is of the Lord. And that phrase of the Lord gets to the very heart of parenting. In the Old Testament, fathers and mothers were to teach their children to love the Lord their God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And Jesus even said that this was the greatest commandment. And rules and boundaries are important in the home. And yet, beloved, we have the wonderful task of guiding and leading and pointing our children to that vital and living relationship with their Savior, Jesus Christ. And contextualizing that in the home with rules and boundaries. And our Father gives us the wonderful promise that in our shortcoming and weakness in carrying this out, He is to them a Father. He's promised that to them. They've received that sign and seal in baptism. He's promised to be a father to them and even promises that all adversity he'll even work for their good. And so, beloved, in every generation, God promises to be a father to us and to our children. And he calls us to be faithful as parents, to guide and lead them to our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. That word Lord there in our text goes back to the Old Testament, to the Lord God, Yahweh. It points to His faithfulness, His mercy, His kindness, and His love, His tenderness, that which is traced through every generation, that which He also promises to our children as well. And so, beloved, we are called to be faithful as our Father in heaven is faithful. But being faithful, beloved brothers and sisters, does not necessarily mean that our children are always going to grow up and do what is right before the Lord. It does not eliminate the personal responsibility of the children to embrace those promises that God has given to you, children, in Christ Jesus, to make that your own and to walk with Him. And so it also calls you, children, to hear, listen to your parents, receive their instruction and guidance, but above all, receiving the instruction and guidance of your teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through your parents, God is also training and bringing you up of the Lord. And so look through the past, the weaknesses and shortcomings of your parents in faith and look to God, your Father in heaven, and trust in Him that He is leading and also guiding your future and your life. And beloved in the Lord, when we are gardening, we don't throw a seed in the ground and hope for the best. Coming now to the conclusion, we don't just hope for the best. And yet when we do all the right things, we still hope that that seed is going to grow. Because at the end of the day, beloved, we have no power over the spiritual growth of our children. We can do all the right things, put all the right things in place. At the end of the day, we cannot make that seed germinate. We cannot make it sprout. No more than a gardener cannot make a seed sprout or grow or germinate. A gardener can only do all the things that might encourage that, right soil and water and sunlight. God is the only one who can cause a seed to germinate and sprout and grow. A gardener cannot do that. And so it also is in parenting too, beloved. We try to do all the right things. And we hope and we pray for our children will grow, because at the end of the day, we have no power over their spiritual life. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot bring them to life. We have no power over that. That is only the work of God. And yet, beloved, he calls us to be faithful. Faithful as parents in what we are called to do. And we can then leave that up to him. And also trust that he is faithful through the generations. And so let us rest in the faithful care and tenderness and love of our heavenly Father who is in heaven. Amen.